Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. It's the Saturday show. We've got an Xfinity race at Darlington this afternoon. Who's excited? We don't have practice. That's okay. We've got plenty of podcasts. We've been doing research all week. That's why we do these videos, so that we are prepared and we know what data points to look at. If you want to look at those data points, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $25 for the month of May. I'll share all of this data with you. Make it easy, save you time. You don't have to search the internet. And you can dive in and have a little bit of an edge. Have some fun this afternoon. Have some fun Sunday for the Cup Series. The whole month of May. Going to be exciting. Going to be awesome. This is going to be a fun slate today. There are limitless possibilities. You can see some projections on the screen. And we've got a lot of drivers that can all get into the top 10, finish in the top 5. Flip a coin. Who are you going to back this week? Austin Hill, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Chandler Smith. And then we've got speed starting towards the back. That will eventually work its way up. Those drivers aren't going to lead laps, more than likely. They might sneak some laps away at the end, but they're going to score a bunch of place differential that could easily exceed what any of the drivers that start up front can do. Now, if you're looking at my Hulk points, I've kind of got them spread out. Now, obviously, everyone's not going to get 10, 15, 15, 10. But what I'm demonstrating there and what I believe is going to happen is we're not going to have one driver run away with this race. There will be plenty of caution breaks. We could even have an early competition caution, which is going to open the door for people to get four tires and maybe kind of nurse it to the end of stage two. And then you're going to have eight cars maybe that start stage two on older tires. And the guy that leads and wins stage one and was the hog maybe possibly for all of stage one, then cycles into traffic. Then in traffic, he never really gets back to the lead. And so I expect there to be several leaders throughout this race. And that doesn't even factor in the possibility of multiple cautions and all those scenarios. And so when I take that information and I lean in that direction, I don't really see any of the guys up front really running away and scoring a lot of points. And when you do that and you run optimization, the lineups that are going to get spit out are mainly going to be place differential built lineups. And I'm absolutely fine with that. It's a volatile race, dangerous racetrack, no practice. The Xfinity Series has shown the propensity to get hairy and loose, and we all watched it at Dover last week, even though the race was pretty green. Then it goes into Xfinity mode. We see it often. Why would this be any different? And when it goes into Xfinity mode, it's going to lean into drivers who are going to finish much better than where they run, and that really will factor in for everybody. And when that happens, you're going to have place differential gain guys that pop out. And if you do think someone will really run away with this race, then yeah, it's going to change the build. If you juice one of these guys up because you truly believe in them for whatever reason, and you think it's going to be more of a green race, then yeah, they're going to end up in the optimal lineup, and then you're probably going to end up with five place differential chases. But given the way that the order was set, you're probably only targeting one guy from the top five, if that, maybe not. The optimizer's not going in that direction. Maybe you take a guy starting a little closer to the back of the top 10 who gets there. But you look and see at the projections here. We can all get them around 5 to 10. I don't really argue with any of these. And just one of the ways to look at it is say, all right, we got AJ Allmendinger. I got him finishing 5th. He is the 9th guy popping up right here. So for him to finish 5th, he's got to finish ahead of these drivers. Hill, Custer, Smith, Creed, Allgaier, Almirall, he needs to get ahead of a couple of them. Maybe he gets ahead of Herbst. Maybe he gets ahead of Mayer. It's not that easy. Really, the only way he gets to 5th, which should probably happen, is he just runs a clean race. And then not all of these guys are going to survive, right? Not everyone's going to finish where they run. That doesn't happen in a typical race. And then at a Darlington race with no practice, some of these guys aren't going to make it. So Allmendinger could boost up a little bit to 5th. And I think they're pretty conservative here. And ultimately, none of them really are popping off as big hits. Again, if you want to juice somebody up in the hog projection, you can. But the real conversation starts when we get down to these guys. So this is a pretty conservative projection, I would say, for John Hunter Nemechek. I know he's starting 34th. He's way in the back. It's not technically a JGR car. It is a Sam Hunt car. But if you go over here to 2022, these are Sam Hunt cars. Finished 9th, finished 4th. If you look at last season, 2023, in the spring race, two of the cars in the optimal lineup were Sam Hunt cars. And they ran in the top 15, benefited from the end, finished 10th. So if Kaz Grala, and I believe the other driver might have been Corey Heim, Go ahead and put that on the screen. 23 spring race. You have Corey Heim and Cas Grala running 20th, 15th, finished 9th, 10th. Why couldn't John Hunter Nemechek easily do that when he has been good at this racetrack in Hunt equipment, JGR equipment? He should be able to run the top 15 again. We just go over and look. Who does he have to run better than? Right now, he is the 10th name to pop up. So that's basically a top 10. Even if he can't pass these more top-tier rides, fine. That's okay. Gets to 10th. That's a pretty conservative. Can he get better than Love? Yeah, probably. Can he get better than William Byron? We'll talk about Byron in a second. But Kligerman, Quapel, Smith, Jones, he should be able to outrace those drivers. Or at least be around those drivers. And as long as he keeps it clean, a 7th place finish doesn't seem like that crazy. Again, remember, if we're saying some of these guys just aren't going to make it to the end, Chandler Smith could wreck, Creed could wreck, Sam Mayer could wreck or have an issue. There's no guarantee that all the top 10 drivers are going to get top 10s. So let's say they suffer a little bit of an issue. You just have to build in that attrition boost. We talked about that previous in the week. So he gets a little bit of that boost, runs around 10th. I like John Hunter Nemechek a lot. Probably my favorite play on the slate. We look at Jesse Love. Again, he's the 11th name to pop up. Probably not as fast as these drivers. He can get better than a couple of them, run around the top 10. Maybe he gets some attrition boost. But in any way, he's starting 12th. He's just not a play that we can talk about. I really just want to illustrate how we can look at these projections and get an idea of how that's going to work. So really now, once I've done that, let's just look and simply jump into where we got our value rankings at. And so number one on the board right now is Ryan Sieg. And that terrifies me. So we know Ryan Sieg was awesome at Texas. Then he goes into Dover and his car blows up. Matt DiBenedetto suffers damage. The other Sieg and Blaine Perkins has a mechanical issue. Kyle Sieg gets into a wreck. Now we didn't get practice. We don't know anything about these Sieg cars. It's just, so yeah, can Ryan Sieg run 12th? That's the question. So let's go back and sort and break this down. This might be a little too aggressive, given that the field is pretty strong. And so let's sort it out and let's see what it looks like. Sieg's going to have a hard time passing any of these drivers from Austin Hill to the Custers down to the Byrons, even though we'll talk about Byron in a second. I know you're like, whoa, Byron. We go down here. Here's Sieg, 18th on the board right now. For him to get 12th, he needs to be faster than Taylor Gray. That's tough. Jones, maybe. Quapel, tough. Maybe faster than Kligerman. It is hard for him to get to 12th. But he has been a top 15 driver. So let's say, and I might be juicing him up a little much. I think he can run 15th in this field if his car's not toast. Then, again, there are 17 names ahead of him. All 17 of these names are not going to run a clean race. At least 3 have an issue. So you give him 3 spots. That puts him around 15th. He needs a little bit more. Can he get a little bit more? So 12th might be a little aggressive. And I think if we dial that down to 13, we'll see where his projection changes. Still 3rd. Let's dive down to 14. He's still 4th at a 6X. I think you're probably going to need to go there. Now, I know it's scary because we don't know what the Sieg cars have, but it's just the nature of the game. We'll leave him at 13 for now. All right, let's go back to our value rankings. Help you pick some more picks. Maybe we'll build some lineups here in a second. I'm so glad that you guys are here. All the positive vibes that you guys have and everything, all the appreciation, adoration, positive emails I get. It's great. Like, subscribe, share. Love you guys. Keep coming back. You can watch other videos too. It's cool. You don't have to just pick, oh, I'm only, you know, Coca-Cola guy or I only drink Pepsi. Drink them all. Sammy Smith showing up. Benefits from not benefiting last week. So now he's going to start towards the back. It's a Junior Motorsports car. Junior Motorsports, easily a top 10 ride. A ninth place projection. You can slide him down a little bit. He is still going to pop in your optimal lineup. Not really worried about that one at all. Josh Williams. I know. But if we just look at the data, it's a lot more comfortable than you think. Bad week last week. Shake it off. But before that, had been very clean. Now, I know, rough start to the season, driver rating-wise. But he's still getting solid finishes, even when he was having issues here. 12th of Texas, 25th of Dover. It happens. Overall, the colored car has enough speed. He's starting 25th, 6,200. One of the things that we really like about Josh Williams at Dover, finishes five spots better than where he runs. Texas, finishes four spots better than where he runs. Richmond, Phoenix. This is telling me that he's going to be slow and methodical and figure things out. Stay out of trouble. That's fifth best. When we put him in the mid-pack, get those gains at the end. If he can run around 20th, which I don't think anyone disagrees, and he's been running better than 20th, he can get a top 15 simply. I've got him at 15. Checking out, fourth best play. Matt DiBenedetto. They did get some damage last week. It did not look like it was that awful. They were able to finish the race. He thought he had a top 15 car. I think the same situation is going to happen here. Very similar to the Josh Williams play. And this may be very conservative, saying only 19th. He can run in the top 20, just outside of the top 20. Keep it clean. Avoid the wrecks at the end. Get some attrition boost. And again, let's look at the overall grid and see if a 20th place running position is really that outrageous for DiBenedetto. I don't see him better than any of these cars ahead of him. Where does his name first pop up? Right here, 24th down. Could he be better than Jeb Burton? Let's say he runs with Jeb Burton. Let's say he runs with Kyle Weatherman. The Gosselin cars were very fast at Dover and ran inside the top 20 all weekend. We don't get to see practice this week, so we're not going to be sure where they're going to slot out. But DiBenedetto is in that mix, in that pack battling. Williams probably will carry a little bit more speed, but I can see all these guys battling at the end right there, fighting for around 20th place. I would give the edge and speed to Retzlav and Alfredo. Liked them early in the week, but because of their solid finishes last week, their starting position's too high this week, they're not on the board at all anymore. They're going to be faster than DiBenedetto, and that's kind of where we get to the ceiling. See these drivers up here. I don't see DiBenedetto in an honest race running better than them. You could have him as high as right about here, which is 22nd, hanging onto the lead lap. Then, from 22nd, you have 21 drivers in front of him. All 21 of those drivers are not going to complete the race. That's half the field. Something's going to happen to at least three of them. Let's say he runs 22nd, 23rd, 21st. Four cars go down. Boom, he's in 18th place. Better than 19th. It's really not that hard. He is at 6,100. His car, I am less worried about. They are quasi-aligned with Sieg. He didn't suffer severe damage. Now, they may have less resources and equipment to deal with because they're building this program. But there are definitely some positive vibes coming out of that camp with DiBenedetto signing for the rest of the season. Don't mind that play at all. Like it. And the Optimizer likes it too. The Optimizer likes Williams. The Optimizer likes Matt DiBenedetto. You know that. All right, going back to our value. Ranking our plays. Austin Hill, the first hog that pops in. Ran really well here last year. Should be in the top five all day. Keep it clean on pit road. I like his aggressive style. I think it suits him well at Darlington. As you can see last year with RCR, really good. I think he's going to be in the mix. Ultimately, the Optimizer is not going with him. It's taking the safer play and chasing place differential. But he is there, and I think he belongs in some lineups, and he is a way to deviate and differentiate, because most people are going to play your William Byrons, your John Hunter Nemechek's, Taylor Gray, Sammy Smith, Eric Almirola, Ryan Sieg. Sieg's value, but whatever. You know the direction that people are going to go in. He's a way to go differently. Taylor Gray, showing up in the optimal lineup at the moment. Is this too much to say that this JGR alternate car can be in the top 10? Let's rank it up, rack it up, and look at our projection and see if we can justify this. I don't see Taylor Gray outracing any of these guys in front of him. His name first pops up in cell 17. Could he get past Jones? Yes. Could he get past Quap? I think he could dice it up and battle him. Should be able to outrace Parker Kligerman. Keep it close with him. So right now we're up to cell 14, and I think he has a legitimate shot right there of being around 14th place. Now, from there, it gets a little tighter, and he could run a little bit better. I don't think that he necessarily will, but what we're baking in more for him than maybe some other projections is that, again, you've got 16 drivers ahead of him. All 16 of those drivers are not going to avoid issues. Something is going to happen. He could legitimately get himself up to about right here, which is 14th. If he avoids issues and you conservatively give him three more spots because of drivers in the front that have mistakes and issues and those aren't him, then he's about to 11th. And with an 11th place finish, that's a 5.8x return, 7th best on the board. Again, he could even do better than 11th. It is a JGR car. There could be much more carnage up front. And if we simply just look at what he has been doing recently, again, obviously he was the bad news last time. But if we look at just simple finishes, third at Richmond, 13th in Martinsville, not the best indicators for this racetrack, but in a way they kind of are. Richmond is not an easy racetrack, and he finished third, survives. Martinsville, not an easy racetrack, still gets to 13th. Texas, survives, gets to 11th. Don't really care. Now, obviously, Dover didn't go his way. He wrecked in that one. He was one of those attrition spots that boosted somebody else. 11th, not a hard projection. All right, let's go back. So don't feel worried about Taylor Gray at all at 7,700. And we said earlier in the week that was a pretty good value play. To get a JGR car at 7,700, and you know I talk up Taylor Gray all the time in the truck podcast. Say it and say, he's your dark horse candidate. That's right. Dark Horse Championship candidate. Don't count him out. Although winning the championship series in the truck series really just almost means nothing. Oh, cool. Congratulations. It just doesn't. Look at the past champions and say, oh, wow, you're a truck series champion. That's pretty cool, man. Look at the names of the drivers who have won. Yeah, it's not really a big deal. Often, the guy that doesn't win the championship wins more races and goes on to be the star. The guy that wins the championship usually doesn't win very many races and lives in the truck series until his old ages. All right, enough story time. Eric Almirola, starting 18th, should be popular. I got him going all the way to second. Let me even give him a couple Hulk points while he's running in the top five at the end of the race. He is not ending up in the optimal lineup. He is technically a better point per dollar play than William Byron. But William Byron's raw number is actually getting him into the optimal lineup more, strangely enough. But here's the other thing, though, is that why I would like Byron over Almirola is he's got to get the second. Now, we know he's out there chasing wins, and he has won. And Tyler Allen has really been a good crew chief. But you got Eric Almirola, no practice, part-time driver. Sure, his ceiling is second, but this is a very aggressive projection. This is maybe not really the most likely scenario or outcome. That is really pushing it. Whereas you look at Byron, and that's not really pushing it that much. Now, there are some questions around Byron. Brandon McSwain, not a lot of crew chief work. They're trying to get him more experience. That's part of this gig from Hendrick, is to work him up and to groom him into the next crew chief in the Cup Series. maybe get him into a junior ride. I don't know what the full plan is going to be, but they're getting him experience as a crew chief. Byron, not a lot of runs in the Xfinity series. This is a tough track to have not a lot of runs. And this specific car, not a lot of runs. We saw it at Richmond or Phoenix, and it wasn't that great. But can he get into the top 10, the top 8? That might be a little aggressive. If we're to dial him down to 10th, 62 fantasy points. Again, this is where we hit a hard stop. And we ask ourselves, am I trying to build the optimal lineup or the winning lineup? Now, you might need to build the optimal lineup today, but it's going to be difficult and challenging to do that. Maybe just try to build the winner. All right, continuing on. Winning lineup. It's fine. Well, you know, maybe you don't want to chase because of ownership. That's a conversation you can have as well. Let's stack it up, I think, is the best way to review this. I think this is going to be a two-part podcast. Isn't that crazy? Get a feeling that I'm going to cut this one here in a little bit, and then you can jump into episode 2. There's just so many things to talk about. Weird, wild, crazy, isn't it? Grinding away pretty slowly at this one, so I'm sorry, but hey. Probably just going to have to do a second one that's a little bit more succinct. What do you say? All right, Jesse Love. Can he outrace Jesse Love? Yeah, I think he can. He'll be close. And he has to work his way through traffic. It's going to take his time, but he knows what's ahead of him. And are we expecting plenty of cautions? Are we expecting plenty of breaks and strategy? Look, he's going to walk through the 30s. Byron should walk through the 20s at Darlington. He's got a whole race to do it. The real question is, all right, from 20th to 10th, that's what we're looking at right here, really. I don't need Byron to beat the elite. Although, again, he's going to get spots. People are not going to finish this race. Conservatively, you know, there are probably 10 cars that finish several laps down, and he won't be one of them. But that's really not a factor. What we really want is he's going to get some spots from these guys. But really, the conversation is, can he get to 8th? So right now, he's 11th name to pop on the board. That means he doesn't outrace any of these drivers, which I think he could outrace some of them, and I think he could pass some of them. The bigger question is, all right, can we guarantee that he's going to get past this crew? So we'll just start right around here and say, yeah, he's going to outrace Williams, Weatherman, and Jeb Burton. So that puts him up to the 21st driver, which is our 20th cell, puts him in 20th place, easily gets to 20th. He should beat Alfredo. He should beat Retzlaff. The Hendrick car should be faster than C. He's now up to 18th. It gets a little tougher in this group. So from 18th to 11th, it's not as easy, but he is William Byron. This is a Hendrick car. He didn't come into this race to do nothing. Hey, it's too bad we don't have practice. But let's step back and say, all right, well, everyone didn't get practice. Who's best suited to be able to get ready for this race? Well, think of it this way. 2 weeks ago, all these teams were building for Dover. They were building for Texas. They were building for Talladega. Then they turned their notebook over to Dover. Whose notebook has been on Dover or on Darlington? They turned their notebook over to Darlington. Whose notebook's been on Darlington for the last month? Brandon McSwain. Everyone's coming in saying, all right, we just have to do our notes. Well, who's been going over the notes more than anyone else? Brandon McSwain and William Byron. These guys didn't get practice. These guys are racing different tracks every week. Byron has been focused probably more on Darlington. Given that situation, he should be able to get past Kligerman. Quapple, this is not going to be an easy race for him. We know Andrew Overstreet, great crew chief, setting up fast cars, had a really good week at Dover. But they were borderline top 10 before they got the boost at the end. Good race, but not really better than William Byron. I mean, look, we love Carson Quapple, but this is William Byron. Should have won the Cup Series championship. Byron versus Jones. Look, we love the dark horse, Taylor Gray, but it's William Byron. It's not really that hard to get into around 11th. and then to give him three more place differential or attrition boosts, because again, these top 10 drivers aren't all going to make it to the end. So I have no problem with William Byron, and he is showing up as number one in terms of raw points. He may not be the best point per dollar play, but I've only got him finishing eighth. He could legitimately get a little bit further. Riley Herbst showing up. This is where it gets unique and interesting. If you want to swerve, I'm not going to do it. He could run in the top five. He has been the poster boy for snake bites, along with Justin Allgaier, as we can see over here on the right side. On for a median, he is finishing 11 spots, median, not average. We do median to get less skew, and 11 spots worse than where he runs. Just cannot finish a race. So if this is the one time where he turns around, because look, Dover, top 7-8 driver. Texas, top 5 driver. Richmond, top 5 driver. He is the 4th best driver on our board when we run the average for the Dietrich data for the tracks that I like going into this race. And you can pick different tracks if you want. You can adjust the sheet however you want. Las Vegas, Phoenix, Richmond, Texas, Dover. But ultimately, I don't think I want to do that dance. You can go that direction. He is due for some positive regression. Parker Kligerman, starting too close to the front. Yes, he could be a decent point per dollar play. He needs a lot of things to go right. And there's a huge floor. I don't think you want to roster Kligerman at 11. 7,300 is a great price for Kligerman. That's a steal for what can be a top 10 driver. Ninth basically says that he can run around with the pack that we have shown, the Taylor Grays, the John Hunter Nemechek's, and then maybe he boosts from attrition at the end, although he was one of the guys that wrecked at Darlington last season. Sheldon Creed is popping up as our next hog if you want to go in that direction. That's going to be the way to differentiate if you want. And it's not the craziest thing. Creed, Custer, Allgaier, all three of these guys should finish around the top five. They should get their moment to cycle into the lead. It's just picking the right one. And there's no guarantee that they're going to get their moment, but it is a way to differentiate if you don't want to chase all the place differential like the other guys. Creed looked good at Dover, but he is still Sheldon Creed. Justin Allgaier had a really good race car, cycles out of the lead because of pit road. And I think those are going to be some of the scenarios that we run into, which limits some of the upside of these guys up front. They're going to maximize finishing position. Other than Allgaier, these guys don't really have access to place differential, but you got to pay more for Allgaier. He can get a couple place differential points, but that really fades if he just finishes third, or if he continues to do, again, like we saw with our friend Riley Herbst, finishing much worse than where he runs. It's a very bad number. Is he going to turn things around? The car has speed. He has the capability. But again, it's not always about having speed. Last week he had speed, didn't work. Or at Dover, he had speed, it didn't work. Custer had speed. He did get into the optimal lineup, but he really needed things to go crazy after he made the mistake by coming down pit road. There's so many things that can unfold. Pit road, cautions, and those affect these hogs more than they do the place differential drivers. The hogs, the dominators up front, can really get hurt because they're going to get boosted down, lose some negative place differential, and knocks them out for the day. That's what happened to Allgaier, wrecks at the end. But if we are just saying speed, yeah, Allgaier could be one of our plays. Custer is starting on the pole. But we know with Custer, he can quickly fade away and then disappear from the conversation. Custer had speed, and he cycled on pit road at Dover. If you remember, we had guys that stayed out. He was the first off pit road of the guys on four tires, and he cycled to the lead. And then he led the thing in clean air at Dover, which is expected, till the chaos broke out and he made a bad pit decision. He then ultimately does recover, but there are so many things that can knock out these guys. It's just dangerous where you have a bunch of cautions that really could cycle them away from leading laps, but then also all those cautions and those resets boost the guys in the back because of A, you're resetting the field, And so it's easier then to gain those place differential spots and to work through the field. B, when we have cautions, you're taking cars out. If you take a car out, it doesn't help Cole Custer one bit. If somebody wrecks, it really doesn't help Sheldon Creed. Barely will help Justin Allgaier. But every time a car wrecks, that's points for William Byron, and that could be points for Eric Almirola. It's very likely points for Taylor Gray. They don't get those gimmies. So that's why it's going to be safer to chase place differential than to go with these hogs. You can go in that direction, but I don't think I would go there. And I think we're going to wrap up part one of this podcast right now. Unbelievable. I'll be with a more succinct podcast later this morning. Thank you, guys. Trip to Light, fantastic.